welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 130. Chance Watson, allergy ridden.
Oh, no. And Molly Roberts,
coming
clear as day.
With Molly Roberts, as I try to push back and breathe a little bit here.
Poor Chance.
Man,
is struggling.
It's a new thing for me. This is a strange new world for me.
I wonder what you're allergic to around here that's getting you.
Could be a lot of things, honestly.
The lead.
Could be the lead. This episode is brought to you by the committee to elect Jim Annis for District 4 State Representative. Jim Annis is running for re-election as your state representative in District 4, Seat A. He, his wife, and their entire family are longtime residents of Coeur d'Alene. They've helped build a business here, raise their daughter Kendra here, and love being involved in the community. Addis grew up in a small logging town of 1,500 people here in the Northwest. After receiving his associate's degree in small business management at Spokane Falls Community College, he attended Washington State University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in economics and business management. After graduation, he spent 2 years at the Beatrice Corporation, a large U.S.-based conglomerate. He then took an upper management position with the largest OEM ductile iron foundry west of the Mississippi, Gregg Industries. Very clever name. In 1998, he returned to join Tom Addis Lake City Ford Lincoln and Tom Addis Dodge and continued to work in our local community until the businesses sold in 2016. After a long business career, a door opened for him to continue serving the community, this time at the state capitol. Addis believes the District 4A seat is very important. Kootenai County is growing rapidly, and it's the third most populous county in Idaho. How it handles growth is very important to the quality of life. Experience counts. Addis is a qualified incumbent and common sense thinker who looks at each issue individually for the proper solution. The key to Idaho's future lies in a strong economy, supported by excellence in all forms of education, and a business climate that encourages and supports the opportunity for growth and prosperity for all, the opportunity for our children to succeed, and to build a life here in Idaho. To continue this effort, Addis needs your support in the upcoming Republican primary on May 17th. This ad was paid for by the committee to elect Jim Addis for District 4 State Representative. This episode is also brought to you by the committee to elect Don Wixton for Shoshone County District 2 Commissioner. If you care about your lifestyle and property rights, vote Don Wixton for Shoshone County Commissioner District 2, the North Fork District, and beyond. That's Don W., the real candidate in Kingston District 2. That ad was paid for by the committee to elect Don Wixton for Shoshone County District 2 Commissioner. I'm getting that real fast talk really down. Yeah, got that. Okay, so yes, I'm just like the NHL players in the playoffs right now, I'm battling through the pain.
Yeah, just like them.
Exactly like them, actually.
Just exactly like the
professional athletes.
Exactly, yeah. Chance has been sweating in here like a professional athlete. He's been... Oh, man. I've been impressed. Yeah.
If I could just breathe.
I'm basically in here with an NHL player.
Oh, God. That is not accurate in any way, shape, or form. I think at the top of my game, I was maybe a middle six beer leaguer. So that's hockey people understand that.
I'm like, all right. Definitely, you got it.
Yeah. Molly.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on? Oh, man. Well, the days that we've had sunshine, I've gotten some rollerblading in.
Yes, you have. I've seen it.
But we've had a couple gloomy, gloomy days.
Really not happy.
I just try to remind myself this will help when the warmth of fire season is around us.
Yes.
So that's what I do. You know, I would rather have this than not be able to go outside because the world is on fire. So,
let's hope that doesn't happen.
It just makes me gloomy.
I agree.
Yeah, like I just leave this office and it's like, oh, right, when we leave the office and like the sun's shining, it's like, oh, I can go back in and get some work done. And I feel like when I leave and I just see it's like raining and glooming, it's like, oh.
That's a sad thing where like your office is more cheerful.
It's more cheerful than outside.
Yeah.
Because we don't, I mean, we've made the office, I feel like, pretty like.
We have.
Pretty personal. Yeah. And like it does feel fairly comforting, but we don't have windows in here.
No.
Like it is, you know. So it is a bit sad when it's like, I don't even want to look outside.
You should put up a picture of one.
Put up a picture of a nice window looking outside of a I like that.
This is what freedom looks like.
Just standing there. Molly's having a tough day. She's looking out her window.
Oh, God.
I'm just like crying and like have my hand on it. I want to be out there. Like, some 90s sad song going. Some Sarah McLachlan in the background. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's so good. I'm pretty happy on the entertainment front. I've got some shows that I hold close to my heart coming out with new seasons. The show Bosch, the detective show, based on the books by Michael Connelly.
That's gotten
like a spinoff series.
Okay.
So I'm pretty stoked that's coming out here soon. Star Trek Strange New Worlds is coming out with, we had a nice, pre-mic discussion about Anson Mount.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's good listeners of the pod.
It's a good looking man.
Good looking man.
And a fantastic actor.
We are taking a firm stance on Marissa Tomei, good looking.
Yep.
Anson Mount, good looking.
Yes.
Timothy Oliphant,
great.
Good looking.
Great looking. In fact, they should all be in a movie together.
I don't know that we'd be able to handle that. I don't know that the Shoshone News Press office would be able to attend that film.
I don't think any office could.
This film is literally too hot to watch.
It's already been, like, they haven't even announced, like, the title of the movie, and it's already getting Oscar nominations. Untitled Marissa Tomei, Anson Mount, Timothy Oliphant film
has already been
nominated for 5 Oscars.
That makes sense to me. Best picture, best lead actor, best lead actress, best supporting actor.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely something that needs to happen. Well, and we've pitched enough screenplays on this show.
Exactly. Any one of the screenplays that we pitched.
We don't even want the money. We'll just be happy that you're making the movie.
With the three of them,
that would be my payment.
We
I would just be happy.
We could probably come
enough.
Up with like 10 more ideas. We got you, Hollywood.
Yeah,
please.
Absolutely.
I've
heard good things coming, even though Netflix seems to be in a death spiral.
Right.
It does sound like That 90s Show is picking up steam.
Okay.
I saw the first shot from production where you've still got Red and Kitty sitting there, and they look like they have not aged a day.
Interesting. That's funny.
Like, it looks more like they tried to age the actor that is Red Foreman.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Huh.
But, like, they had to age him to make him look older because he just doesn't look like he aged at all. And Kitty looks exactly the same. Like, she's aging like a fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like other than Danny Matherson?
I believe so.
Did I say that right?
I think so.
Other than him, it sounds like everybody's going to make a return to the show.
Masterson,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sounds like everybody's going to make a return to the show. Which
he's in jail?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I just know he's in some hot water right now for multiple things. Which, you know what? With Hyde's character, you could easily write it out of the show.
Sure.
He was already...
Of all of the characters.
Right.
Yeah,
episode one, you're just like, yeah, Hyde's in jail. And you're like, oh, okay. And then move along. Like, nobody would question that for a second.
Yeah.
So I am pretty excited about a lot of things that are coming down the pike.
Well, we talked about, so someone's birthday is coming up.
Yeah, that is accurate.
We talked about going and see that Nicolas Cage movie.
It is. If you guys liked our Batman episode where we gave you our review of Batman, it sounds like we're going to, for my birthday, we're going to go see the
massive and unbearable talent of Nicolas Cage.
Yes,
is that it?
Something like that.
I feel like we
at this
know
point
this
I purposely
title.
Just get the title
right.
wrong
the
because
massive.
Like,
wait, the un-
the massive unbearable weight of
okay,
super talent.
This is what I said. This is what I said and typed in. The massive weight of unbearable talent. However, are you ready for the title? The unbearable weight of massive talent. I mixed every single word
okay,
around.
Okay, that's fantastic. I still think that people know what's going on. I did read some reviews from it. It's getting good reviews.
It's getting good reviews.
It's getting good
Even
reviews.
Right now, it's still 87 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
7.5 on IMDb, 67% on Metacritic.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all pretty, those are good. Those
yeah,
are good
I need I need to see this film, and I think my one request for the staff is to do that to go see that movie.
Yep. So we will plan on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. So if you guys are waiting with bated breath for our review of this movie,
don't worry, it is coming.
It is on its way.
It's on its way.
It
okay?
will.
Okay. Calm everyone. Stop calling us. Ask when.
Right.
When are you going to do this? do this review of the
movie. I've just disconnected
my
office phone.
We've had to. It's been, we appreciate the support, you guys, but it has been off the hook.
It has been, it's just keeping me
Josh
up.
Josh has had to field so many phone calls about
the
it.
The research department
is overwhelmed.
They can't handle all they the, can't. The call volume is just unbearable.
It's too much. It's a massive
It's an unbearable weight of massive talent,
it
honestly.
It really is. Heavy, that is us.
heavy lies the crown, Molly.
Heavy lies the talented crown. Oh, it's a blessing. It's a gift and a curse.
It is. It's tough, you
as
know.
Monk said.
Man, what a great thing. Boy. But yeah, so I am very much excited about the things that are coming down the pike on the entertainment side of things.
Which is, you know, I feel like there's been a kind of a dry spell as far as like, and maybe part of it could have been kind of COVID and just people not being able to film things. And but now it does seem like there's more things coming out to be excited about, to go to the movies again. And it is, that's exciting to me. I do love going to the movies.
I know, it's so expensive.
I like to be, that's true. It is expensive.
But I'm all about it. It's the experience.
I am too.
It's the experience.
It is.
All right. Ready to go into some news, Molly?
I am.
At least we're going to say that we're going to go into some news. Home of the lowest prices in all things outdoor since 1975, Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. My father picked me up a early birthday present from Black Sheep actually recently. Shout out to the good old boy folks over at Black Sheep Sporting Goods. Picked me up a rifle that I have been pretty much eyeing almost my entire life.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited. I'm gonna it's not your area of expertise, but we can talk about, I'll talk a little bit about guns here in the future maybe.
Excellent.
Okay.
Maybe we can, after seeing the unbearable
weight of massive
talent.
We can
do a little, Josh, you and I can do a little shooting.
Perfect. With the golden guns.
That's
so good. I'm so excited for that movie. Okay, moving into Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press headlines. Starting with Wednesday, May 4th, electioneering trial postponed.
Goodness.
This by Kay Thornbrew. The trial of a poll worker accused of misconduct during last November's local elections has been postponed after the woman at the center of the case fired her attorney. The trial has been rescheduled to begin July 5th. Laura L. Van Voorhees? What a great last name. Van Voorhees. Love that. It sounds like she should be fighting vampires.
It does.
Yeah,
that's good. Maybe I'm going to change my last name now.
Van Voorhees.
Molly Van Voorhees.
I love that so much. Of Hayden is charged with electioneering, an offense punishable by a fine of up to $1,000. The criminal complaint stems from November 2nd, 2021, when Van Voorhees allegedly took down a vampire at a
poll station. No, that's not what it was.
Come on, guys.
If only, you guys. She was handing out critical race theory to voters.
She was handing out critical race theory information.
Sorry, information. Yeah.
To voters while she worked at the polls.
And then fought a vampire.
CRT is taught at the college level, particularly in law school. The concept is not taught in local schools. They've been very adamant about that. Mm-hmm. Idaho's electioneering makes it illegal to attempt to persuade or prevent someone from voting a certain way within 100 feet of a polling place. The law specifically forbids circulating, quote, cards or handbills of any kind. Van Voorhees pleaded not guilty in January. Fun fact on this, not to interrupt myself for the 90th time in this story, when we held the candidate forum that was hosted by Cliff Schroeder, no, sorry,
was that one Clayton?
Clayton Schroeder. No, that was actually Clint.
It was the good one. Yeah, absolutely.
During that, we held a couple polls, and I was curious. I asked people who are viewing that live stream what they thought about electioneering. Do you think that is electioneering at a polling place okay with you or not? And the overwhelming majority said no. So it's interesting that. On one hand, it's like, oh, you should try to you know, pitch your stuff at right when they're walking in. I guess, you know, as a tactic, that makes sense.
Right. But
sounds like most people in that were not okay with it.
No.
A jury trial in the case was set to begin this month, but proceedings paused after Van Voorhees fired her attorney, Michael Palmer. In court Monday, Palmer said Van Voorhees instructed him last week to withdraw as her attorney. Quote, she said, I lack the competence, experience to handle her case, and that I've developed a reputation for sloth, Palmer said. He said it's clear that Van Voorhees has, quote, a complete lack of confidence in his ability to represent her, adding that he doubts she'll accept a plea deal. Quote, I also believe that no matter the outcome, it would be chalked up to me throwing the case or being unprepared or incapable of handling the case, Palmer told the court. I don't think there's any good outcome. Van Voorhees waived her right to a speedy trial on Monday, saying she refuses to work with Palmer and feels that she's been railroaded. Quote, this is a highly political case, she said. I won't be fodder for people to seek higher office. She's reported looking for another attorney to represent her. The state was reportedly ready to move forward with its case before the trial was postponed. Quote, having worked with Mr. Palmer, I've never known him to be a slothful attorney or negligent on duties, prosecuting attorney Corey Weber said. Van Voorhees, who has reportedly said at different times that she moved to Kootenai County from Washington and that she moved from California, is a member of Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan's, quote, task force to examine indoctrination in Idaho education. Boy, that, I don't like the noise. I don't like that at all.
I don't love it.
The task force aims to root out alleged teachings of, quote, critical race theory, socialism, communism, and Marxism in Idaho schools.
Okie dokie.
Very, very McCarthyist, Nixon level. Seeing communists in your sleep kind of stuff. During the task force meeting last May, Van Voorhees blamed a poor relationship with her daughter in part on CRT teachings at her daughter's former college in California. Okay. In another meeting, she said that she believes the U.S. is in the midst of a, quote, communist takeover. Okay, so I was not lying. They literally, they're seeing communists.
Yeah.
The communists.
The communists. Mm-hmm.
Was that a good Nixon?
Communist takeover.
Was that a good Nixon? Thank you.
Yeah.
I am not a crook. A website type coming from Futurama, Nixon in Nixon's head in the jar. It's so good. A website titled Protect Your Children appears to be created and operated by Van Voorhees. The site, which included photos of Van Voorhees, went private after the press reported on its existence in February. Quote, there are choices you can make to redirect what's happening to the kids. The site read in part, quote, you have more power than you may think. Use it.
All right. First question. Have any of these people volunteered in the schools? That's my first question.
That would
because
be a good question.
If they did, I would. I have worked in schools around here. I have worked at the Post Falls School District. Mm-hmm. I've worked in the Moscow, Idaho School District. Mm-hmm. Never in any working in these schools have I seen teachings of critical race theory.
It's never even been brought
socialism,
up.
Socialism, communism, and Marxism. Never been brought up. Critical race theory was not a thing until
maybe in a government class where you're explaining different types of political ideology.
Perhaps.
But not critical race theory.
Right. Perhaps in a history or a government class where you're talking, but not, and certainly not at like the elementary level, most likely not at the middle school level. Volunteer in the schools. If you think that there's a problem in the schools, volunteer in the schools and see then what's actually. Yeah.
Look, I'm going to even try to go meet halfway on this. If like I as somebody who has taken 4 years of college, going to those, like, sure, there
you
is
got
a
the woke mind virus chance.
What's that?
You got the woke mind virus.
The woke mind virus
at college.
It's not as. Like, okay, you go to a college in California, sure, that's that you expect, you're going to a college for that kind of thing. Same as like if you go to a college, you know, a more conservative minded college somewhere in the South or something like that. But like when I going to University of Idaho, like, sure, you'll get like a couple professors that are a little more left, but that's going to, you almost expect that kind of thing when you go to a higher education institution.
Right. I don't want all of my educators to be telling me the exact same or have the exact same beliefs. Exactly. I think that's what makes us more knowledgeable.
I was almost
hearing
prepared for
different
it.
Sides of opinion, mm-hmm. and then creating your own from that.
Sure. I was almost prepared for it. Like, I knew I was going to college. I'm like, all right, I'm learning. Like, there is going to be professors here that I run into that are just going, I mean, they're going to have different viewpoints. Like, that's going to happen.
Right. Oh, definitely.
So the idea of, but.
And there's still things you can learn from them, though. Like, I mean, the professors that you have used differently, I would maybe have the same views, where then professors that I had different, you know, but we can both.
So if you came up to me and you're like, there's indoctrination in the schooling. Like, if you're trying to make this argument to me about maybe like college level stuff, I'll listen to what you have to say.
It's different on a college
level. It's different. College professors have a lot more.
They have a lot more freedom
and flexibility to say pretty much whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. If you're dealing with adults in the majority. There was at least
one class that I took at University of Idaho where a professor just blatantly would use his classes as a soapbox.
Sure.
Like he would just push his political beliefs, and mm-hmm. it was frustrating, but.
Right.
I did learn some things from his class.
But right, but and no, I see what, yeah, that there certainly are.
I think my overarching point is like, there's a difference between that college level of stuff and then elementary school where I haven't seen, like, indoctrinating fifth graders into communism, like, just, I don't.
I have never witnessed that.
I've never seen it.
And maybe I haven't been in the right schools, but, I would be interested in what they believe is also socialism, communism, and Marxism. Like, what exactly are you talking about there? What is being taught?
Spending too many days in kindergarten class teaching kids about the color red. Better dead than red, Molly. That's what I always say.
Oh, my God. Okay, we should probably move on to saluting student scholars. I like this.
Okay.
I like to salute student scholars.
Let's salute some
this
scholars,
is by Devin
Molly.
Week. North Devin Weeks. North Idaho salutes its student scholars who are committed to bright futures in academia. Coeur d'Alene Charter Academy is celebrating its seniors who have signed letters of intent to continue the pursuit of knowledge at higher learning institutions. At the start of May, 29 of Charter's 65 seniors had committed to a college or university after they graduate high school. It is kind of funny that we're reading this after our conversation. All these kids are going to these woke mind virus colleges. Several students will stay close and attend the University of Idaho or Lewis and Clark State College, two graduates of both colleges in this room right now.
Mm-hmm.
Others will take the leap to schools across the country, including Northeastern University in Boston, University of Texas in Knoxville, and Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. Mm-hmm. Some are still waiting to hear back from Ivy League schools. It's a big deal, especially for students who have studied and toiled for years at Charter, a school that's dedicated to providing a rigorous, content-rich college preparatory education for students willing to accept the challenge. Quote, this is really our attempt to be different, said Principal Dan Nickley. We wanted to emphasize that we are celebrating our scholars who are going off to do scholarly things. Seniors Taylor Hancock and twin brother Cooper have committed to the University of Idaho after 7 years at Charter. Taylor will pursue business and Cooper will study mechanical engineering. The twins spent most of their educational life together and are happy to continue that family tradition. The University of Idaho is also where their parents met. Oh.
Hmm.
Across town, Kootenai Technical Education Campus is celebrating its seniors who are committing to a vocational or military futures or industrial careers. K-Tech held its signing day on Tuesday. Post Falls High School and K-Tech Health Professions senior Michaela Bowl, 18, signed for 4 years as a hospital corpsman. Thank you. Mm-hmm. With the U.S. Navy. Quote, I'm pretty happy with it, she said. It's kind of scary, and I've never really been away from home, but at the same time, it's the exciting kind of scary. She wore a shirt proudly proclaiming that she's a veteran's daughter. Her dad and stepdad were both Army, and both grandfathers and step-grandfather were Air Force, and her great-grandfather served in the Navy in World War II. Automotive student David Ford, a senior from Kootenai Bridge Academy, signed to Midway Hyundai in Post Falls. Quote, it's good to start a career, he said, seated next to his girlfriend, Maddie Gonzalez. I feel like I'm further ahead than most people. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to be stressing all the time, paycheck to paycheck. Quote, it's very inspiring, Maddie said. It makes me very proud of him and excited for our future endeavors. He's very committed to what he does. K-Tech director Colby Matilla reported that 61% of K-Tech's graduating seniors are headed directly to industry careers, 33% will pursue post-secondary education, and 6% have enrolled in the military. Quote, all these kids are signing up for their careers and their futures. They have enlisted, they have started their careers with companies, and it's their big launching point.
I really love that percentage breakdown. Like, to me, that is like exactly what the workforce needs right now. And I love that breakdown.
Yeah, no, and I like this story because, right, it's not only talking about, it's talking about many different types of, because Coeur d'Alene Charter and K-Tech are they're different. They're different, very different schools. Very much so. But they're both, exactly, they're both important. They're both, I love K-Tech. I think it's such a good, I had so many students that they had no idea what they wanted to do. And then, yeah, I was like, well, there's another option. Right. It's not like a college.
Sure.
It's not, but
right.
You can, yeah. So that's cool. That's
no,
awesome.
I agree. And these types of programs are, because as we've, I think we've talked about this before on the show, like
everyone wants to go to college, no. Which is totally fine.
Which is totally fine.
Oh my goodness.
100%. That's where the indoctrination happens. So.
That's where I was indoctrinated.
Right, absolutely.
I'm seeing red all over right now. but that's just Chance's office.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely.
It's his big communist flag.
Giant Soviet Union banner right behind me.
I think that's it. I think that's maybe why I'm seeing red. That he got from U of I.
Yep, from that one professor I talked about.
Oh, he finally won you over?
Yep, yeah.
Oh, man.
Gifted it to me after I passed the final. Fun fact, that professor, I doubt he listens to this show, he only had two assignments all year. Uh-huh. It was a midterm and a final. And if you aced the midterm, you didn't have to take the final.
Nice.
One of the many reasons why I took his class for multiple years.
Yeah, that.
I also learned a lot, okay?
Sure. Sure.
When he wasn't preaching, he was actually a decent teacher.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Initial success or total failure. Mad Bummer Brewing Company, located at 9265 North Government Way in Hayden, Idaho, is a veteran-owned and operated business that has been serving North Idaho since 2013. God, my sinuses. Swing by the brewery today to try a freshly tapped Tripwire Red, a beer with the perfect combination of full flavor and light body. It is really delicious. Be sure to check out their special events throughout the week, including a trivia on Mondays, all-day happy hour on Tuesdays, open mic night on Wednesdays, discounted growler fills on Thursdays, and live music on Fridays and Saturdays. Mad Bomber Brewing also offers a wine selection of ciders for those who may not want beer. Located near Triple Play, come by and mention the podcast when you order to receive $1 off your first beer. Mad Bomber Brewing, recklessly brewed in Hayden, Idaho. They also have Mad Bomber also only has like two or three special events a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the EOD Memorial Party is this Saturday, May 7th. So swing by and you might have the chance to get inside one of the actual EOD bomb suits.
Oh,
throw some ping pong balls around and have some fun.
There you go.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Moving on, Thursday, May 5th headlines. Headline, Pride and Patriots. I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah.
This is by Bill Bewley. A spokesperson with the Panhandle Patriots Riding Club on Tuesday refuted a member's claim that the club plans to confront those at Pride in the Park on June 11th at Coeur d'Alene City Park. Quote, that very same day, we actually intend to go head-to-head with these people, says a man in a video posted on TikTok. Quote, a line must be drawn in the sand.
Come after.
The man, reportedly with the Panhandle Patriots group, says, quote, good people need to stand up, and later says, quote, we say, damn the repercussions. This has absolutely nothing to do with it. I think of Jean-Luc Picard from First Contact, where the Borg have taken over the ship, and he's like, the line must be drawn here! This far, no further! Sorry, that was totally random. That was so totally off anything.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
The club's second, quote, Gun D'Alene event would counter Pride in the Park, an annual event organized by the North Idaho Pride Alliance. A May 1st post on the Riding Club's Facebook page calls for people to join them on June 11th, quote, in standing up against the indoctrination and grooming of our children. Another Facebook post claims the Gund Lane event says, quote, full 2A encouraged. The man in the video goes on to say, quote, this fight is not just paper. It's not just words. It's not just politicians. They have to see people standing in their face saying no more. A spokesperson for the North Idaho Pride Alliance said Wednesday the issue is under review but declined to comment. Tony Stewart, secretary for the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations, said groups have the right to peacefully assemble. But he said someone can't threaten, physically harass, or confront another. Quote, a line is drawn, you can't cross, he told the press. Stewart said if one group does try to shut down or intimidate another, he's confident police will handle it. Quote, one group does not have the right to deny another group or dispute what they are doing, he said. That's a very libertarian approach to it, and I appreciate that. A woman with Panhandle Patriots who declined to give her last name and said she goes by Bear... That's, you heard that right, Bear, told the press in a phone interview Tuesday that the man in the video gave out incorrect information. She said he is a club member, but not their spokesperson. She said the club isn't planning to confront anyone during Gund Lane at the Coeur d'Alene City Park. Quote, we are wanting this to be an extremely peaceful event, she said. The man in the TikTok video was speaking April 28th at an event hosted by Representative Heather Scott of District 2 now, Seat A at Regeneration Calvary Church in Sandpoint. Quote, I wanted to bring us together because I am gravely concerned about the inappropriate materials in our public schools, school libraries, and our libraries, Scott said in a video recording of the meeting. Scott, contacted Tuesday via phone by the press, declined to comment. Pride in the Park is North Idaho's Pride Alliance's annual event to celebrate Pride Month, scheduled 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. June 11th at the City Park and Bandshell. It is described as a free, family-friendly community event, so, quote, celebrating diversity and building a stronger and more unified community for all. Organizers expect more than 1,000 people to attend. There will be food, entertainment, and an activity area and crafts. A Coeur d'Alene police officer said Tuesday that Pride in the Park is set for June 11th. He said that he heard a second event is also going on at the city park that day, but could not comment on what it is as he needed more information. Bear said Panhandle Patriots reserved the city park pavilion for Gund Lane before Pride in the Park was scheduled. She said club representatives plan to meet with police and sheriff's officials to discuss it further. Bear said the club is planning to put out another video to, quote, clear all this up. She said the name of their event is Gund Lane, Protect Our Children. Oh. It will start at noon with a gathering near the Coeur d'Alene Public Library for a march through downtown, followed by a 3 p.m. gathering at the City Park Pavilion with speakers and informational packets. A promotional flyer for the event uses a quote from Major John Pitcrane, quote, if they want to have a war, let it begin here. So some conflicting information, it sounds. Hearing one hand piece, on the other hand, not so much.
Not so much. Which that's kind of... yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts, but I... I don't know how many should necessarily be shared on the...
Yeah, sure.
I'll start a side podcast on my own called...
That's fair.
Molly's Side Rants.
Well, right. Yeah, okay. It's a spin-off of this
it's
show.
It's going to be a spin-off of...
I don't know how well that's going.
Molly.
Gonna... Remember when Joey tried to spin off from Friends?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Bring that up.
Or that 80s show.
Well, we talked about that 90s show. I could be a
Well, I'm hoping
good
that 90s
spin-off.
Show does better than that 80s
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I could be a good spin-off show.
Okay, anyhow. So the first thing off the top of my mind, like, without knowing about the situation or anything, if I just heard that these two events were going on at the same time at the same place, I'd be like, all right, two events that I can support
yeah.
at the same time. Like, this could be cool. Like,
we had this discussion of this person
yeah.
and I do think it's funny thinking of Chance being like,
I am very supportive of
oh
my gay
gosh.
Friends I am
wait,
also
you guys
very
yeah.
I'm very much into firearms so
right. you're like wait the guns and the gays
right
this is my day
I can support all of this
I can support this on June
this could
11th
be, yeah this could be definitely exactly. this could be a fun time and I'm yeah. I'm almost kind of upset that there's contention here because
I
there's
agree.
There is
yeah,
there's
this could be just a, an
they're not mutually exclusive
peaceful.
But
they
you can't
are not mutually exclusive.
That this implies that only straight people can like guns.
Can like and enjoy guns.
Right.
Certainly not.
No, that's not accurate at all.
It's not.
No, I can support my gay friends while also enjoying the pastime of firearms.
Of shooting.
Yeah, of shooting.
No, I do like what Bear said, yeah, that it sounds like she's a little bit more, and she's more of like a spokesperson, it sounds
yeah.
like,
yeah,
for this,
sounds...
where the other guy is a club member, but not their spokesman.
And you know what?
Which...
You know what? I will even give the benefit of the doubt on this. Like, every group has that person that's just, you know, firing off
say,
at the hip.
Exactly.
Even,
oh, yeah.
even probably, you know, Pride at the Park, there's probably some extremists there that are going to say some stuff that you're like, oh, no, you should probably chill out.
Right. Like, where it's like, okay, yeah, if you want to have this event on the same day, fine.
Sure.
Okay. But yeah, it doesn't have to be this. A war?
No.
No.
Definitely doesn't have to be.
Exactly. Yeah. It can just be people enjoying what they enjoy.
Yeah.
And for some people like Chance, enjoying both.
There you go.
Enjoying the gays and the guns.
There you go.
What a day to enjoy gays and guns.
What gays and guns. Now, see, there's an event
that
right there.
That is an event. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
Side Molly Podcast might come up with a gays and guns event.
Okay, all right, here we go. All right, moving on. What do we got, Molly?
All right, two Key County employees resign. This is by Kate Thornbro. Two Key County employees are exiting this week, the latest in what appears to be an ongoing exodus. Chief Deputy Assessor Allison Knapp resigned Monday, while Kootenai County Finance Director Dina Darrow's last day is Friday. After 6 years in her position, Darrow is taking a job in a private industry. Quote, the stars just kind of aligned, she said on Wednesday. Many county employees work long hours and roles that are often thankless, she said, and she believes that Kootenai County residents are fortunate to have them. It's been a privilege to work side by side with such hardworking people. They have a spirit of service. The offices of most county elected officials have seen an increased turnover rate in recent years, according to county labor data. The trend is most obvious in the assessor's office, where the turnover rate was 37.7% last year, a massive jump from years prior, and almost twice the national average. A total of 35 employees have left the assessor's office since 2020, including Knapp. Just 6 of these exits were reportedly retirements. Only 22 employees left the assessor's office during the 4-year period between 2016 and 2019. Knapp said the office's turnover in the last 2 years is unprecedented, and she pointed to Kootenai County Assessor Bella Kovacs as the reason. Quote, I love my job, Knapp said on Wednesday. I would go back in a heartbeat. I just will not work with him. She is the second chief deputy assessor who has resigned since county commissioners appointed Kovacs to the office of assessor in May 2020. His predecessor, Rich Hauser, died weeks before. More than 30 county employees issued a vote of no confidence in Kovacs last month, calling on him to end his campaign for election. Mm. In letters submitted to the press, employees cited Kovacs' inexperience, disinterest in the daily workings of the assessor's office, and alleged disrespect for staff as reasons for their lack of support. You can read those letters in full at cdapress.com. Kovacs did not respond to multiple requests for comment. He previously characterized the staff's complaints as politically motivated. In March, Kovacs filed as a candidate in the Republican primary race for assessor. His opponent is Bob Scott, the county's residential lead appraiser. He's worked in the assessor's office for 9 years. Of the 3 candidates put forth by the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee, Scott said Kovacs was the best choice, though he had no appraisal experience. Quote, we were really hopeful that he was going to be the guy, Scott said, but over the last 2 years, he has just proven that he isn't. Some employees said Kovacs has consistently disregarded their experience and becomes defensive or argumentative when staff share their knowledge. The county assessor has little influence over policy, Scott said. He believes the ongoing conflict is about management, not politics. In Idaho, the only mechanism to remove an elected official from office, including an appointed one, is through a recall election.
Hmm. Okay.
Okie dokie.
Love that there's just so much drama going on in our politics.
Oh my.
Always makes
love
things.
To hear it.
Okay. Heckle Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer with operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. They're the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for 1/3 of the silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted value-based culture, leveraging mining skills to build over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Heckle Mining Company, please visit hecklemining.com. Takes into Friday, May 6 headlines. Headline, $20 million. For Lank CDA Health. This is by Bill Bealey. As boats cruised past in the background, Governor Brad Little on Thursday announced that more money was being dedicated to protect and improve Idaho's waters, including Lake Coeur d'Alene. Quote, "Everybody knows how important this lake is to the community and to the state," he said while standing at McEwen Park. Quote, "And it's also important to other people downstream. Our prosperity in the state is heavily dependent on this body of water," Little said. The governor was joined by Jess Brine, director of the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, and members of the Coeur d'Alene Lake Advisory Committee. Little said his, quote, "leading Idaho plan includes $80 million to improve water quality throughout the state. DEQ will prioritize nutrient reduction projects identified by the advisory committee and overseeing the funds. Grants will also help farmers, ranchers, and dairies across Idaho implement the best management practices to improve Idaho's priority watersheds," Little said. He also said that the state leveraged $450 million from federal funds and invested $44 million in general fund dollars for safe water systems for its communities. The funds will help improve local drinking and watershed systems with an emphasis on disadvantaged communities in need of major infrastructure upgrades. $2 million were allocated in 2021 for water quality projects to benefit Lake Coeur d'Alene, and Little announced another $20 million over the next few years for more lake projects. Little said his goal has always been to make Idaho a place where children grow up and don't want to leave. And also where your life isn't cut short by swimming in Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
DEQ Director Brine said the additional funding for water quality and health of Lake Coeur d'Alene, quote, "demonstrates the commitment that the governor has and that the state of Idaho has for the long-term well-being of the lake." DEQ has several projects that will reduce the amount of nutrients going into the lake, including stormwater outfall removals. "Nutrient reduction is key," Brine said, "because it will help stabilize oxygen levels in the lake so heavy metals from a century of mining in the Silver Valley aren't released from the bottom. Quote, they're sequestered in the sediment, so the entire goal is to keep them there," Brine said. Little said other uses of the $20 million will be upgrading wastewater systems and upstream stream channel restoration so less sediment runs into the lake. He said there is much work yet to do for Lake Coeur d'Alene's health because people will continue moving to the area. Quote, "we all know the population is growing and we're going to have to do more and more," he said. So, as Molly is a native of the Silver Valley, do you, I think you owe everyone an apology.
I think I do too. I felt that since I moved here in the year 2000 that I just feel like I owe everyone an apology for moving here.
It's like the South Park episode. We're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry that...
My grandpa did work for Bunker Hill, so probably.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it is it's a generational thing. I'm sorry, you guys.
basically means that you personally...
It was me personally.
...polluted the lake.
Gosh.
That was... It's all Molly, everyone.
Fine, I'll take the blame. I'll take this one. All right, our next story. Rotarians respond to criticism. This is by Kate Thornbro. After an anonymous blog post blasting Rotarians in Kootenai County as scoundrels and fake philanthropists circulated widely online, local members are speaking out. North Idaho's Slow Growth is a website dedicated to, quote, "preserving the suburban rural character of the region by limiting growth." The site's creator is unknown. A recent blog post criticized North Idaho Republicans, a new group for Republicans who don't feel represented by the Kootenai County GOP, and specifically skewered members who are also Rotarians. Quote, "every candidate who has NI Republican or Rotarian on his resume should be rejected from consideration for public offices and commissioners," the blogger wrote, adding that some of the information in the post may be inaccurate. The blog features an image of a hand holding a wooden stake with a cross on it alongside the logos for Rotary International and North Idaho Republicans. It also included a list of more than 70 members of North Idaho Republicans, as well as their occupations and associations. A total of 26 people on the list are Rotarians. Rotary International is a humanitarian service organization with more than 46,000 clubs and around 1.4 million members worldwide. The Rotary Club of Coeur d'Alene, one of four clubs in Kootenai County, will celebrate its 100th anniversary on May 7th. Sandy Potano is the former vice chair of the Idaho State Republican Party. She's a longtime Rotarian and one of the founders of North Idaho Republicans. She pointed out that North Idaho's slow growths list features many citizens and community leaders, including former elected officials, law enforcement, and business owners. Quote, "I'm honestly proud to be associated with this group of Republicans and the hundreds of others who have joined us." Potato noted that the North Idaho Slow Growth blog is published anonymously, while the founding members of North Idaho Republicans are named on the group's website. Quote, "We allowed our names to be listed for public review because we want to be open and transparent," she said. The blogger characterized Rotarians as being part of a, quote, "network of insidious influence."
Mm.
Quote, "The Rotary Club is Freemasonry light," the blogger said.
Whoa.
Gustav Lohr, one of the four founders of Rotary International, was reportedly a member of a Masonic lodge. The organization does not appear to have other links to Freemasonry. North Idaho Slow Growth said many local organizations are, quote, "overrun with Rotarians and interlinked," pointed to groups like the Boys and Girls Club.
Those damn Rotarians.
Gosh, I have never heard someone be so upset
about Rotarians.
Rotary Club. I have never said the word Rotarian so much.
Yeah.
Wow. The blogger said most Rotarians are involved. Luke Russell, who retired in 2021 from his position as a vice president of external affairs for Hecla Mining Company, has been a Rotarian for 22 years. He said he's proud to uphold the values that North Idaho Slow Growth criticized. Quote, "The things that were attacked in that blog are what makes Coeur d'Alene such a great place and why so many people want to live here." He emphasized that no official connection exists between Rotary International and North Idaho Republicans. Quote, "We are not political. We are not a religious organization. All those things that might divide us go away, and we focus on what we have in common." I think the internet was a mistake.
Yeah, this is very much rantings of a madman kind of thing. Well, I mean, look, I'm as somebody who takes, you know, that crazy pleasure of like deep diving into crazy people on YouTube, going into conspiracy theories.
Sure.
It's very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even like the, you know, like the 9/11 conspiracy theorists, like 9 plus 11 equals 20 and 20 is it, you know, just making up stuff.
Right.
There's not even this. It's just like wild accusations with no proof or
no
even crazy proof. Like it's just,
no, it's just exactly. It's an anonymous.
The Rotary Club is Freemasonry light.
I don't even know.
The
internet was a mistake. That's all I have to say.
I
would never have said that before in my life because I do enjoy the internet. Memes are a love language.
The Rotary. It's such a very interesting, very random. Like when we read stories about libraries, like why is fighting happening at the library?
Right. Why are we attacking librarians and Rotarians?
They're the most, you know, I don't get it.
It would be like attacking the Kiwanis.
Yeah.
It would be like, wait, Kiwanis who like benefit all the children in the area? Why are we attacking them?
Oh, don't put that into the air. They're next, Molly.
I'm sorry. Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Right. I will defend the Kiwanis.
We haven't even gone live with this yet, and it's already happening. Jump to YouTube. Kiwanis and the Illuminati.
Kiwanis versus Slow Idaho Growth or whatever they are.
You know what it is, Molly? The Kiwanis, they are actually in charge of the spraying in the air, the chemtrails.
They are why you have allergies. That's it. Yep, the Kiwanis
I knew it.
Yep. Okay, we've solved it, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, the Kiwanis are directly responsible for my allergies because they are responsible for the chemtrails that are in the air.
Okay. I think we really solved it here. I think so. Oh, yeah.
Mixed.
They're child pilots. All right. But it's that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's just like, okay. If you have facts behind your reasons of not maybe trusting someone or not trusting a group, I will sit, and I'll listen. Okay,
absolutely. But I'll be honest. Like, any time, so like, especially when it comes to politics, like very early on when like allegations and stuff against the KRCC, KCRCC were coming
KCRCC?
Out. Like, I chalked it up again to like, okay, everybody, like, this is politics. Everybody's trying to smear the other side.
Right.
Always.
Right.
So I just chalked it up as like, okay, that's, you know, probably there might be a little truth to it. And it, but this is like the first, that's, you know, this is an outlier. Cause usually you're not, when these accusations are made, it's, you know, it's crazy people.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I mean, sure. Okay. If somebody wants to come forward with some actual evidence about this Rotarian plot.
Right. Well, and like the North Idaho's slow growth stuff. Yeah. I mean, kind of the idea of, hey, what can we do? Because we have a lot of rapid growth in this area.
I can get behind that.
I can get behind, because
absolutely
right. We are affected by this. We've talked about this before that, yeah, the growth in the area, it does make it difficult for those who, for in many areas. Like, so yeah, to
for
create
those who
a
didn't
solution,
own a home. Like, I didn't plan ahead when I was 8 years old buying a home because I didn't know.
Because I didn't
know that I couldn't afford one when I was 28.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
Working two jobs.
We really
are
lazy millennials, aren't we?
It's all our fault. Don't listen to us. We don't know anything.
We don't know anything at all.
Just
lazy
just
millennials.
Listen to the news. Yep. Jay Huber has been serving the citizens of Shoshone County as the District 2 County Commissioner for 8 years, and before that, as the City of Pinehurst Mayor for 16 years. Huber is always ready to lend a helping hand and put the people he represents first. Vote to re-elect Jay Huber for District 2 Commissioner on May 17th. This ad was paid for by the committee to re-elect Jay Huber for District 2 County Commissioner. All right.
Excellent.
Moving into Shoshone?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Moving into Shoshone News Press headlines. Friday, May 6th, mm-hmm. Headline, Kellogg Homes declared total losses following fire. I wrote this one myself.
Yes, sir.
Two Kellogg Homes have been declared total losses following a fire that broke out early Thursday morning. Shoshone County Fire District No. 2 Chief Mark Ahmet tells the news press that crews were dispatched to a home at 130 West Mullen Avenue around 2 a.m. when dispatch received a report of flames coming from the structure. The fire was initially reported by the residents of 130 Mullen when they came home to see the building ablaze. By the time fire personnel arrived on scene, not only was 130 Mullen completely engulfed, but flames had also jumped to the neighboring 128 Mullen home and the nearby power lines. Quote, "The whole front end of the original structure was well involved when we got there," Ahmet said. "Our initial efforts were to protect the second structure, but there was only 7 feet between the two." Working in collaboration with assisting personnel from Shoshone County Fire District No. 1 and Avista Utilities, Shoshone County Fire District No. 2 fire crews successfully kept the flames from spreading any further and extinguished the fires in both homes. In addition to a quick response, crews also benefited from having the close proximity of the area's fire hydrant. Crews left the scene around 11 a.m. that day. No injuries were reported, as the original structure was not occupied at the time of the incident, and the residents of the secondary structure were able to evacuate before the flames had spread too far. Ahmet stressed the importance of working smoke detectors, as the ones in 130 Mullen were what alerted the residents of 128 Mullen that there was a fire. Preliminary investigations of the incident have shown that the place of origin was the living room and the cause was electrical in nature. The full investigation is expected to be completed Friday. Thankfully, no one was hurt.
That is good. It's always good when no one's hurt in a fire.
I agree. The Broken Wheel Restaurant in Kellogg, Idaho is now open and ready to serve you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Offering only certified Angus beef, come in and sink your teeth into a mouth-watering steak or burger. Special events include mystery darts on Fridays at 7:30 p.m., karaoke at 9 p.m. on Saturdays, and free kids' meals on Tuesdays. Open Thursday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday through Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Visit the Broken Wheel Restaurant today at 102 East Cameron Avenue in Kellogg.
All right, so I wrote this about the American Council of Engineering Companies awarded Alta Science and Engineering a couple of awards. The ACEC recognized two projects completed by Alta Science and Engineering at the 2022 Engineering Excellence Awards luncheon earlier this month. The Government Gulch Limited Use Repository Project, acronym probably my favorite of all time, GGLRP, received honorable mention in their respective categories. However, the Stormwater Controls Project Protecting Human Health Remedy in the Upper Coeur d'Alene Basin received first place. Chief Executive Officer and Principal Engineer Derek Force of Alta explained in an interview to the news press why these projects received such accolades and what they mean for the Silver Valley. Quote, one of the fundamental things that's important to the cleanup throughout the Silver Valley is you have to leave a place. You have to have a place to put the waste. Mm-hmm. So this story, it is very interesting. It like and what they have all done is fascinating, and I hadn't done a lot of research into it. I think reading it would be a little dry.
Sure.
So if you are interested in what Alta Engineering and Sciences have done, they have some great videos on their Facebook with a lot of information about the two projects that won awards, or you can check out my article.
They're one of, Show News Press. They're one of the many groups cleaning up Molly's mess.
They are. They're clean. Thank you, Chance, for taking it back that this is my fault.
This is your fault.
It was actually kind of, I had to write this story. And in fact, I apologized in tears to CEO Derek Forseth. I'm sorry. I'm
sorry that I alone was responsible for the pollution. My family.
I don't even know how. I was born in 1990, but but it's me. It's my fault.
we couldn't yell at your grandpa about it, so.
So I'm the next.
So now you're the next up.
I guess. Sorry. So. I don't know why I won't yell at my Uncle Bill,
Molly.
But okay, fine.
That's how things work nowadays, Molly.
Fine.
Yep. All right. Are we moving up north?
We are.
All right, let's move into the Bonner County Daily Bee headlines out of Sandpoint for Wednesday, May 4th. Headline, Taking Steps to Better Health and Fitness. This is by Bo White Eagle. Dr. Heather Margaret is aiming to make sure health and fitness are priorities in the community. Moving to Clark Forth in 2016 with an extensive background in family and lifestyle medicine, Dr. Margaret went to work at Homestead Health Direct Primary Care and has been very active in developing community health programs ever since. Margaret's education in family and lifestyle health is the driving force behind her efforts, she said. Working regularly with Nancy Jenkins and other public health officials in the community, Margaret has organized a health fair, does a regular, quote, walk with a doc program, and has arranged for the local hardware store to have, quote, the best produce around. Margaret and other community health officials formed the Produce Ministry Team, Inc., which is an Idaho nonprofit corporation based in Clark Fork dedicated to the health of family and community, undertaking a variety of service projects. One of those service projects is affordable produce year-round. Speaking to members of the community about the importance of eating more fruits and vegetables, Margaret discovered many families attribute their lack of healthy eating to cost, from the cost of gas for the drive to Sandpoint to the cost of fresh produce itself. Before the idea could come to fruition, PMT Inc. made sure this effort would not have a negative financial effect on locally owned grocery stores in Clark Fork. In doing this, discovered another reason for unhealthy eating is the cost of fresh produce to grocery stores. PMT Inc. was able to gain the support of local business owners as a result. Quote, for them, grocery stores, it's a labor-intensive and a profit loss, Margaret said. In partnership with Evergreen Homestead Supply, a local hardware store, the program began by ordering and selling just $250 of fresh produce every 2 weeks in 2016. Since then, the program has grown to now include $600 to $800, or 700 pounds of produce on a weekly basis. Quote, Thursday, we put it all away. The coolers are as full as we could get them, Margaret said. By Saturday, people are like, you're out. It's hard because I try to order enough. Other health-geared programs in Clark Fork focus on mental and physical health with a compassion class held on the first and third Monday of every month at 1:30 p.m. at the Clark Fork Library and, quote, walk with a doc every Monday and Thursday from 12:15 to 1:15 p.m. at Wampus Cat Park. The compassion class allows for individuals to go and learn not only how to better understand themselves but also their loved ones, while the walk with a doc allows for participants to not only get some exercise but also gain advice and education from Dr. Margaret while nurturing friendships. For more information or to keep up with programs and other visits to Produce Ministry Team, Inc., visit their Facebook page. I would search them out.
Search them out.
There's a URL in here, but it's just a very large jumble of numbers and letters.
All right, moving to Thursday. Is it Selly Rezone?
Yeah.
Stays at 10 acres. This is by Anissa Keith. A highly contentious debate highlighting a clash between personal property rights and increasing growth in the county has been officially settled. An overflowing audience of over 100 people saw Bonner County Commissioners deny a request to reconsider its prior decision to rezone of 714 acres in the Celle Valley from agricultural forestry's 20-acre minimums.
What do they say it's Celle now?
Celle?
Celle Valley.
Celle Valley?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yep.
Yeah. The reconsideration request submitted by grassroots group Keep Bonner County Rural came days after the commission's February 9th decision to rezone land owned by Pack River Partners, LLC. Commissioner Chair Dan McDonald opened the meeting by limiting the discussion to the impact a rezone would have on county services, such as water, sewer, and school districts. Landowner Don Skinner and legal representatives of Pack River Partners maintain that there are no intentions to develop the land. KBCR's attorney, Preston Carter, gave a presentation arguing the commission did not have enough information to uphold the decision to rezone the land. Quote, is it prudent to approve zoning changes on this record, Preston posed, or would it be better to make a decision when the facts are known and the effects are quantified? Many of the meeting's attendees have spoken at past hearings against the rezone, including chairman of Keep Bonner County Rural, David Bowman. After over an hour of commentary and presentations, commissioners closed the floor for deliberation, which lasted almost 20 minutes. The decision boiled down to whether the commission had enough information to make an informed decision about whether or not their prior decision to approve the rezone in February should remain or not. Commissioner Connolly addressed the lack of commentary from the Idaho Transportation Department in regards to potential increases to traffic. Quote, most of the problems involve ITD, and with them not to participate in this is just a little spooky. Because literally, to me, there appears to be obvious impacts to growth throughout the county. Deputy Prosecutor Bill Wilson advised the commission about the legal grounds the commission should consider in regards to the amount of evidence before them, including a brief mention that the county may face litigation regardless of their decision. McDonald verbalized a 7-point list of county agencies which provided information to the commission. Quote, when I looked through the file the first time, I looked at what was submitted by the agencies to determine what the impact might be, and it was pretty slim pickings, McDonald said. Now we're back here to articulate with better information. The commissioners unanimously decided to deny the reconsideration. Their prior decision to rezone Pack River Partners land to 10-acre minimums still stands. As of Wednesday, it is unclear if any lawsuits resulted from their decision.
Okay. Well, lots of great conversation there, it sounds like.
Lots of great convo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving on. Flamingo fundraiser to put project in the pink. This is by Bo White Eagle.
Good headline.
City officials have started a fundraiser that involves more than a few or not so feathered friends. Plastic pink flamingos. City has resumed efforts for the park project in front of the East Hope School in the middle of town. In order to turn the park into a reality, the city has launched a number of fundraisers, including East Hope Mayor Vernon Fleischer participating in the Blue Cross Mayor's Challenge, walking 10,000 steps a day during October and raising $1,000. Since beginning the project, through donations and fundraising, the city has been able to purchase a playground set, picnic table, and built a memorial wall to honor veterans. In May of 2021, the city was also able to honor veterans with a, quote, veteran memorial wall located across the street from what is now the Hope Market. The project was funded entirely from donations, with a $5,000 initial investment from a long-term resident and a $2,000 donation from the Bonner County Gardeners Association. Businesses and community members came together to raise the money. The wall pays respect to any honorably discharged veteran, regardless of their community connections, with a plaque that can be purchased for $125. Running May 1st through the 31st, the city's largest fundraiser will see neighbors flocking each other's yards with a flock of flamingos. Neighbors can tickle each other.
Whoa.
Neighbors tickle each can other tickle pink. Each other pink.
Ooh.
By reserving a flock, which are available at different prices and sizes, with a reservation form.
Neighbors can tickle each other. Wait.
The flock of their choosing is then placed in their chosen neighbor's yards as a fun surprise for the day. Neighbors who want to avoid getting flocked can purchase insurance for $30 as a precaution. The insurance will protect those who purchase it from getting flocked by a neighbor. It's always terrible when you get flocked by a neighbor.
I hate when I get flocked. I'd rather be tickled.
I love this story so much. Reservations are limited to two flocks a day. Only two flocks a day.
Bo White Eagle. It's only fitting that on a day that pays tribute to firefighters, the city of Sandpoint held a pinning ceremony to recognize Zach Ukik's new rank as captain. The ceremony was part of an effort by Sandpoint Mayor Shelby Rogstad and the city council to honor the city's firefighters on International Firefighters Day. International Firefighters Day is recognized around much of the globe annually on May 4th, in remembrance of five Australian firefighters who lost their lives battling a fire in the Australian state of Victoria on December 2nd, 1998. Quote, including here in Sandpoint, where we very much value and appreciate our firefighters and recognize their countless contributions to our community every single day, Rogstad said. That's a tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
After thanking the area's firefighters for their service, the mayor and council members witnessed another long-held firefighter tradition, a pinning ceremony. The ceremony is held to bestow a firefighter with their new badge when they achieve a new rank. In the Wednesday ceremony, Selkirk Fire and Rescue Chief Gavin Gilcrease promoted Zach Ukik to captain, an honor bestowed to those who complete their preliminary training, but also marking the beginning of a career that will require diligence and extreme focus. As is with tradition, Ukik was allowed to choose a member of his family to receive his pin from. His eldest daughter, Presley, was given this privilege. With his wife, Cody, and youngest daughter, Nora, in attendance, Ukik made the transition from firefighter to fire officer, made particularly special by receiving this honor on a day that pays respect to firefighters worldwide.
Well, that's nice.
That is nice.
Thank you, firefighters.
Thank you, firefighters.
Moving on, a little further up north to the Bonner's Ferry Herald, headlines from Thursday, May 5th. Myrtle Creek Game Preserve considered for animal harvesting. This is by Emily Bonsung?
Bosung.
The city is seeking restoration of wildlife management at the Myrtle Creek Game Preserve for fishing, hunting, and trapping. The request will be outlined in letters approved by the city council that will be sent to the Idaho Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Idaho Legislature. City Council has approved the writing of a letter to the Idaho Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Idaho Legislature at the May 3rd meeting. This request is for the restoration of wildlife management at the Myrtle Creek Game Preserve for fishing, hunting, and trapping. Due to Idaho code, the Myrtle Creek Game Preserve is closed for hunting and fishing. The Idaho Fish and Game Commission may open certain waters and lands lying within the preserve to hunting, fishing, or trapping during prescribed seasons after, quote, receiving concurrent written approval from the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality and the Bonner's Ferry City Council. IDEQ has written a letter in support of opening Myrtle Creek Game Preserve for fishing, hunting, and trapping, saying it did not anticipate any adverse impacts of water quality. Chuck Rohde presented to the council his proposal for broadening the use of Myrtle Creek Game Preserve to allowing hunting and fishing in order to harvest and maintain the health of the animal populations, mainly deer. The initial philosophy was that isolated preserves would protect wildlife. Rohde said that this is an antiquated approach, and the fish and wildlife have to be managed as huge ecosystems and much larger areas for long-term wildlife resource management. He said diseases such as chronic wasting disease have appeared in deer in Idaho and as close as Lincoln County, Montana. The concern is having isolated areas like preserves that could allow diseases to run rampant due to not being able to harvest animals. Harvesting is a proven management method, he said. Local predator populations of bears, lions, and wolves have increased dramatically in recent years and need to be managed in an ecosystem approach, but not by individual watersheds. The Kootenai Valley Sportsmen's Association and the Foundation for Wildlife Management wrote letters to the city, IDEQ, and the Idaho Department of Fish and Wildlife in agreement to Rohde's proposal. With the movement of animals, the preserve is not an island out there on its own, but a part of a large ecosystem, Rohde said. When deer contract chronic wasting disease, blue tongue, or epizootic hemorrhagic disease, they move toward water. What a word. Rohde stated that an infected animal that dies in water is more likely to contaminate watershed water than hunting, which should be a preventative and management measure to better maintain the populations and ecosystems at large. He wants to restore active wildlife management, which would include fishing, hunting, and trapping. Quote, more than anything, we need to manage it, he said, and we don't want to have to do that on an emergency basis at the last minute. Chip Corsi, Idaho Fish and Game Region 1 supervisor, said the 2,300-acre Myrtle Creek Reserve is a mix of public industrial and industry land. Currently, sportsmen are paying to have access to it. He said opening up the reserve would allow more opportunity for others to enjoy the land. Councilwoman Valerie Thompson said she was in favor of opening the preserve as a preemptive measure of the spread of the chronic waste disease. The council approved in a 3-0 vote to write a letter to the Idaho Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Idaho Legislature requesting Myrtle Creek Game Preserve be open for fishing, hunting, and trapping. So, sportsmen up north in the panhandle, there you go. Might be another spot to go get your deer this year.
Just might be.
Might be. All right. Once again, we'd like to thank this episode's sponsors, both Jim, the committee to elect Jim Addis for District 4 State Representative to continue his efforts to represent you, District 4. Addis needs your support in the upcoming Republican primary on May 17th. That I was paid for by the committee to elect Jim Addis for District 4 State Representative. Messed up that one. Dang. Also, Don Wixton for Shone County District 2 Commissioner. If you care about your lifestyle and property rights, vote Don Wixton for Shone County Commissioner District 2, the North Fork District, and beyond. That's Don W., the real candidate in Kingston District 2. That I was also paid for by the committee to elect Don Wixton for Shone County District 2 Commissioner. As our research department pops his head in, hello, Josh.
Howdy.
Hi, Josh.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening in. We really appreciate it. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff on social media. If you're interested in stories we talked about today or the ones we did not, check us out at www.coeurdalanepress.com, socialnewspress.com, bonnercountydailyb.com, bonnersferryherald.com. If you listen to us on a podcatcher or music app, please subscribe to us or follow us or like us. You can get every episode as soon as it comes out or, relatively speaking, comes out. And also follow us on the North Idaho Now Facebook page so you can see pictures of Molly and I rollerblading.
Do it.
Or to get updates. Also that. But mostly for the rollerblading pictures.
Mostly that.
Yeah. All right, Molly. You get the last word. Anything else?
Love you guys.
And I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry for my role in the lead
in the pollution of Lake Coeur d'Alene.
I am really sorry for that, you guys.
Josh needs to be
apologizing. I love you and I'm sorry.
Josh needs to be apologizing too. So.
I refuse to apologize.
Josh refuses. I can't apologize.
I'm putting more lead in the lake, baby.
Oh, there we
go. Public enemy number one right here.
Oh, yeah. Lead man. Wow. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, everybody.